It's time to talk that talk, and we talk it like no one else.
This is The Stinking Truth.
Now, here's your host, Mark Schlereth.
The other bit of breaking news right before we started, the Pittsburgh Steelers are making a switch at quarterback. Justin Fields, who led the team to a 4-2 record, he is going to step aside. Russell Wilson is going to start getting the first team reps this week with the idea that he'll start Sunday night against the aforementioned Jets. Justin Fields in six games, five touchdowns passing, five touchdowns rushing, only one interception, averaged 185 yards passing per game, the 4-2 record, and yet he's out.
Now, are we sure he's gonna? Are we sure he's giving his job up to Russell on Sunday? Is that
according to the Tom
practice? I know he's taking the practice rep, so that's a done deal right now.
So, and I will read just again from the report from Ian Rappaport, who says the Steelers plan to give Russell Wilson first team reps in practice this week, putting him in line to make his season debut and start Sunday night against the Jets.
Wow.
Pittsburgh's 4-2 with Justin Fields, but Wilson's calf is fully healed, and now he gets his shot.
All right. Careful what you wish for.
So, for you, what's your message to Pittsburgh Steelers fans? What should they expect?
Well, it'll be I'm interested. Like, I'm interested to see how they run the ball, how Russell Wilson operates this offense, because what they're doing right now and what Justin Fields is really excelling at, and that's a lot of running the ball, you know, zone read stuff, quarterback pulls the ball, holds it, runs. He's got five rushing touchdowns, had two last week. But offensively, you know, their production from a point standpoint has not been great. And, you know, their production in the passing game has not been great. So, I'm shocked. I'm shocked that a guy that's sitting at 4-2 right now, that has minimized the number of sacks he's taken, that has minimized the turnovers, that's got his team 4-2, is going to lose his starting job. I'm surprised. As a matter of fact, I'm fairly shocked that that's the direction they're going in. And like I said, I know they didn't produce a ton offensively. I also know what Arthur Smith, their offensive coordinator, said last week. He goes, it's, you know, he talked about glowingly about Justin Fields and the fact that, you know, he doesn't live, you know, through this perception or this avatar perception. Like, it felt like a direct shot towards the way Russell Wilson operates. But I'll be really interested to see this. Like, there's nobody that takes more sacks in the National Football League than Russell Wilson. I mean, that's just a fact over the last several years. Nobody has taken more sacks. The second guy in line was Justin Fields behind Russell Wilson. So there's nobody that takes more sacks than Russell Wilson. And I know this, man, that offense is not going to produce if you're always constantly behind the chains. But I'll be really interested to see exactly with that great defense how Russell Wilson plays in this Pittsburgh Steelers offense.
But let me stand up for Russ here a little bit, because you have said many times that Seattle did such a great job all those years of really building around Russ's strengths. Sure. And minimizing his weaknesses. And let's face it, the 2 years in Denver, there was none of that. It was all about let Russ cook, and it was just a disaster. But if there's one team out there in the NFL that maybe can best embody what they did in Seattle with Russ, isn't it Pittsburgh? Run the football, play defense, special teams, don't ask your quarterback to do a whole lot. And if he's able to really get comfortable and accept that role, isn't he a better passing quarterback still at this stage of his career than Justin Fields?
Yeah, I think the answer to that is yes. I think that, you know, I think that there are limitations. There are certain routes he doesn't see well, certain things in the middle of the field he doesn't see well. So you've got to build an offense that, you know, but that's like, I will say this, that is every offense, or should be the goal of every offense, is to build an offense around what your quarterback's strengths are and try to mitigate what his weaknesses are. So with that formula in mind, Mike, that Seattle-type formula, if you can play great defense, which they have to this point, if you can run the football, you know, which they've been on again, off again a little bit with their running backs. Last week, Harris had a really big day or a really big weekend. But the bottom line is that has been a little bit inconsistent, and it's been inconsistent with the threat of a quarterback running. You take away some of that threat now. So that'll be interesting. But if Russell Wilson will embrace it, and I think that's the big question, right? Will you embrace that, or are you going to be changing plays and, you know, calling things that aren't actually in the game plan and, you know, doing some of the things that that happened over the course of, you know, 2 years at Denver, right? Like, are you going to embrace that Seattle Seahawk when you were young? Here's how we're going to win. We're going to run the ball. We're going to set up a couple of play actions. We're going to boot you out. We're going to create some opportunities. You know, then we're going to run the play pass stuff that, you know, we fake the handoff. We drop you back deep and we have two-man routes. Like, are you going to embrace that? Or are you still going to live in fantasy land where let me control everything in the line of scrimmage because I'm in charge here and I can be, you know, Peyton Manning, or I can be Drew Brees, or I can be Tom Brady. Like, if you embrace what you were in Seattle and you embrace the coaching staff and let the coaching staff actually, oh, I don't know, coach, then I think, yes, then I think the experiment could work.
The Dallas Cowboys, fresh off their worst home loss in three decades, It feels like it is unraveling, and now you got Jerry Jones on his own radio show, which has always been amazing to me. First of all, that he's the owner, general manager. He does, you know, weekly radio shows, but now he's threatening radio host jobs if they ask negative questions. Right. What's going on there?
Yeah, he is like you ask me what, bro, I'll have somebody else ask the questions, right? Like you're gonna go, okay, I'm taking my radio show and I'm going elsewhere now. You're not gonna ask me those kind of questions. Listen, man, that place, like the decisions that place has made, the way they've made those decisions, you know, waiting the last second to sign your quarterback, you know, waiting the last moments to sign your star wide receiver, not addressing your running game in the offseason. You know, Micah Parsons saying, hey, we're lacking some defensive talent over here, not addressing those things. Like, all the things that people complained about over the course of the offseason going into the season are all the things that are rearing their ugly head in Dallas right now. And what happened to them at home, the ass whooping that they took the Detroit Lions, was epic. That was an epic ass whooping, biblical proportions. And you walk away from that game, man. I mean, you can sit there and be mad about the questions being asked. You can sit there and be upset that your team, you know, didn't perform. You can be upset by a lot of things. But man, oh man, dude, like the Cowboys, look awful. By the way, you know, you look at that division right now, we've got, you know, the issues with the Cowboys, the Giants are still trying to figure it out. We've got issues with Philadelphia right now. Washington, certainly the team that you thought was the worst team in that division, certainly, like right now, they are, and this was without question, there's no caveat here. They're the best team in the NFC East. They're just flat out the best team in the NFC East right now. But the Cowboys are a mess. And what Detroit did to them, what Detroit didn't just beat them, they just were flat out disrespectful. They were like, hey, man, we've developed five or six trick plays. And you know what we're going to do today? We're going to run them all. We're going to run every one of them. And by the way, we're going to get every offensive lineman we have on our roster a touch. Like we're so much better than you that we're going to run Decker and try to get him the ball, you know, even though he's covered. We're going to get Dan Skipper lined up at wide receiver, our sixth offensive lineman who comes in and plays, you know, the big brawling tight end when we get into, you know, 13 heavy personnel. We're going to split him out wide, see if we can't get him a ball. Oh, by the way, we're going to take our right tackle, Penei Sewell, and run the hook and ladder with him, right? I mean, that's just not – I mean, that's not just beating down a team. That's that is flat out embarrassing a football team. Yeah. I mean, it was something.
So, and we want to throw some flowers at Detroit here in just a second. But Dallas, is this thing salvageable this year? Can this thing be fixed? There's a lot of, I mean, let me say the obligatory, there's a lot of football left to play, and there's still time for Dallas to turn this thing around. Do you see a path to them turning this thing around?
All right, well, so DeMarcus Lawrence is going to be out for a while. Mm-hmm. Michael Parsons has been out for a while, but even when Mike Parsons was in, they couldn't stop the run. How all of a sudden are they going to start stopping the run against good run teams? I mean, Detroit hung almost 200 on them. Baltimore hung close to 200 on them, or over 200 on them. The Saints hung over 200 or close to 200 on them rushing. Like, all of a sudden, how are you going to fix that? You can't go out and get new people. So how is that going to get fixed? And, oh, by the way, you know, whether it was David Montgomery last week or a couple of weeks ago with King Henry, they had guys circling running backs, meaning like here you come up to make a tackle and you go, oh, let me get to the edge and try to jump on his back. Right? I mean, it was like you guys don't want to hit him.
Yeah.
Like you flat out don't want to play. Well, you showed up to that game and you weren't prepared and you weren't ready to play. And then Mike McCarthy comes out yesterday. God bless him. And Mike McCarthy is like, hey, there's some advantages to playing young guys, you know, and building for the future. Like, hey, dude, not your future.
Right.
Because you're not going to be coaching this team. Like, your contract ends. You're going to go away to Jason Garrett. When your contract ends, it's kind of like Milton from Office Space. We're just going to move you under the stairs and put your desk at it. Eventually, he'll get when we stop sending checks against you, eventually, he'll get the message that he no longer works here, right? Just take your swingline stapler and leave the premises because you no longer coach here. So it's not like the Chicago Bears when Matt Eberflus 2 years ago was telling me, hey, listen, man, we've got a lot of young players. We're going to play a lot of young players on defense. And these, hey, we're going to make some mistakes. Young players make mistakes, but we're building for the future. We got a lot of young players. We got young players on the offensive line. We got young players. And guess what? Right now, Chicago Bears with the first overall pick and Caleb Williams, you look at the way that defense is playing, and all of a sudden it all seems to be coming together. Like when Matt Eberflus said it 2 years ago, you're like, okay, well, that makes sense. When Mike McCarthy says, hey, there's some advantages to playing young guys, yeah, but you won't see any of the advantages because you're just going to get your ass whipped for the next whatever 12 weeks or whatever it is, and then, oh, by the way, they're going to ship you out of town.
Let's circle back to the Lions because they did look like a unit the other day, but tempered big time by that injury to Aiden Hutchinson. And yeah, I mean, is this something that you can overcome? Is this the kind of injury that stops a Super Bowl barreling train going down the tracks? Does that stop it dead in its tracks? Or is this team so good
right
that they can lose this guy and still remain a heavy Super Bowl favorite?
So let me just say that, one, the Lions are the best team in football.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they're the best team. They are loaded talent-wise. They can beat you any way you want to play. You want to play the physical, like let's go behind the barn and the old physical ass-whooping game? They can do that. They can beat you up running the football. They can beat you up physically on both lines of scrimmage. They are that good. Okay, so they've got that aspect. Oh, wait, you want to go skill? Yeah, well, we've got skill. Jameson Williams can flat run. We got two backs that can flat run and powerful and explosive and all that. We got a tight end that can absolutely eviscerate you in the middle of the football field. Oh, by the way, Amon-Ra St. Brown is one of the best receivers in all of football. Like, they are loaded, and they can beat you that way. defensively, hey, man, Anzalone can really run at the linebacker position. Jack Campbell's a really good player. They've got good players. Reader's a great player. McNeil's a great player on the in the inside, the interior. They've got, I would argue, probably the best tandem of safeties in Brian Branch and Kirby Joseph in the National Football League. So this team is loaded, and they can play with you any way you want to play. The other thing about the Aiden Hutchinson thing, all right, they are so skilled offensively, Mike, and they are so good offensively that they're going to play with a lead a lot. Mm. And in today's NFL, and I've talked to a lot of defensive coordinators about this. I've talked to a lot of defensive pass rushers about this. In today's NFL, you legit will probably only get about 12 pass rush, legitimate pass rush opportunities a game where you know they're throwing. You know it's going to be a five-step drop with multiple hitches. You know you're going to actually have a little bit of time to get there, where it's not a three-step balls out, five-step no hitch balls out, where it's not just a quick passing game, right? Well, when you play Detroit, guess what? You play with the lead, you control the tempo of the game, you control the line of scrimmage, you control the running game, you control the passing game. You're going to get, as a defender, more opportunities to actually rush the passer. So that's going to go from 12 opportunities to maybe 20, 21. So that's a legitimate opportunity. Now, I wouldn't be surprised if they go after Hassan Reddick. Mm. The Jets have given permission for the window to open up for Hassan Reddick to discuss with other people. So we'll see if he does, if they go that direction. You know, there's some other guys out there that, like, I look at Max Crosby. The Raiders are already saying, hey, we'll deal people right now. We just talked about it with Davante Adams going to the Jets. Is Max Crosby available? Can we go get him? Trey Hendrickson from Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. Trey Hendrickson's a damn good football player. I mean, a really good football player. And I do believe he's on the last year of his contract. And let's face it, you know, Cincinnati isn't one of those teams that's known for paying everybody. They'll pay a select few like Joe Burrow, like Jamar Chase eventually, which we assume. But, you know, they didn't want to pay T. Higgins. He's on the franchise tag. I don't think they want to pay Trey Hendrickson. So is there another guy available? I wouldn't be surprised to see Detroit in the next 3 weeks find themselves another pass rusher.